My doctor told me that it was allergies. That was some amazing allergy attack, I'll tell you that. Anyway, I'm here. Father, I thank you. I thank you for my husband. I thank you for the song that you gave me. I thank you that you allowed me to, even it was croaking, came, brought it through, Lord. Because it's your voice that's inside of me. It has nothing to do with me as a person. I pray, Father, you would allow me the strength, and you promised that you would speak through me today, Lord. So this message is a very timely message. I know you gave it to me, and you've been unfolding it for months. But here it is, and this is the time to pour it out. And Lord, I pray for all those that are listening, that they would take this message and this song into their hearts and respond to your call, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. The message is called The Clarion Call. I did talk about a clarion and what it is. It's a medieval trumpet. So we're blowing the trumpet in Zion, and God is blowing the trumpet in Zion. And we need to listen to what Jesus is saying to us right now. And what he's saying is Revelation 4:1. Come up here. He's saying, come up here. Come up into the place that I have ordained for you and called you to and opened up for you, because Jesus is the door into heaven. He's the door into the revelatory realm. Pastor Roy's been talking about doors over the last 5 or 6 weeks, and Jesus is the door. So we need to believe that we can do that. That whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can step into the realm of heaven and hear God's voice especially. So after he ascended, he was enthroned. So he's enthroned in heaven. Sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and they're in agreement. And nothing comes through except through him. Through his blood, through his body, he and the Father are one. And around the throne are the seven spirits of God, which is the Holy Spirit himself. And we are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says, and God has raised us up together and has made us sit together in the heavenly places through and in Christ Jesus. He has raised us with him from the dead. So if Jesus was raised from the dead, because he is the resurrection and the life, if he was raised from the dead, then we are raised from the dead, right? The body of sin is destroyed. Disease is destroyed. Death is destroyed. The power of sin and hell and the enemy is destroyed. 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 We are called to be warrior brides. We are called to be worshiping warriors. We are called to offer a sacrifice of praise when you don't feel like it, because whatever comes out of your lips is what ends up in your being, in your atmosphere. When this thing hit me, I actually felt something come into my sinuses, and it blew up and into my lungs. I don't know what it was, but it's gone. But I'm still suffering the effects that it had on mainly my vocal cords. My throat, my lungs are clear. And it was really last night, I was kind of fine until, because I couldn't, my sinuses kept dripping, landing on my vocal cords, and I kept coughing. I said, oh God, I'm not going to be able to sing tomorrow. And that's what happened. But it's okay, because I'm speaking. I think it was a blessing, because, and I'll tell you how beautiful a testimony. I wrote that song, Fire in My Bones, like over a month ago, and I kept waiting for it to be launched, and it just wasn't working. So I said, all right, whatever. Because I do write a lot of songs and I don't sing them all here. Some of them are just me and Jesus songs. But when we practiced a song last night, my husband got up and he said, oh, and he just came right under the anointing with me. And he started to, oh, this, do this, and that. It was just incredible. It was just the power and the anointing of God just came on the two of us. And he added a little of this. And it was so powerful last night. So you know what? What happened last night was more important than what happened today. But you got the overflow of it. But it's beautiful to be in a place of worship with your husband, with your family, with your children, with your friends, to lift up Jesus. Because there's such a community and a unity that happens with that. So, Ephesians 2:6, he raised us with him from the dead. It'll be better the next time we do it. And I'll do a better job. And enthroned us with him in the heavenly realms as being in Christ Jesus. So what does the scripture say? Christ within the hope of glory. Christ within the hope of glory. Believe that. A clarion is a brilliant, distinct, clear, ancient, medieval horn. That was blasted. I started with that. They used to blast it. And it is a clear, clear blast. So, what is God doing today? He's telling us to come up here. He's coming up because he needs us in what's coming. We've been teaching this for 22 years. It's not a new message here. But we need more. We need more because there's more mess out there. And we'll be able to move right into that mess and with the word of God clear away the cobwebs. Blow that clarion trumpet. Because God is calling us to himself. He's not only calling us to himself, he's calling us to people who he has quickened to be united with him. And the way that you find that out and hear is because you hear in your heart. He will have you connect with someone and you can just feel the presence of the Lord. Right? This is one of my children I want you to touch. So in order to hear that clearly and to walk in what God has given you, you need to be the mature body of Christ. You need to be the mature bride, equipped and ready. But it doesn't matter because in my heart, I know he's with me no matter what. All last night, trying to sleep, I kept saying living breath, living grace, living healing presence of the King. I wasn't feeling any better, but see, those words that I was saying through the night were seeds for today. Or I would have just stayed in bed. Much more cozy there. Even change the sheets, had nice comfy blankets. I love my bed. Have a nice comfortable mattress. Didn't always have a nice comfortable mattress. But you know, it's a place of comfort in the presence of God wherever we are. So I believe that God wants all of us to feel like we're in his presence all the time. He wants us to feel his presence. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to trust him. We are carrying the living Christ in our hearts and our inner man. It's in that inner sanctuary where he lives in our inner being. For the full content of divine nature lives in Christ, in us, in his humanity. Lived in Christ when he was living here on the earth. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, in us, because all of the essence of deity inhabits him in bodily form, Colossians 2:9. That means that whatever situation you find yourself in, He is there present in you to give you the tools to overcome it. What we are learning and practicing his presence is to overcome more quickly, to turn to him more quickly, to ask, what is it? You know, that manna, what's going on? Where are you in this? Colossians 1:27, God wanted his people throughout the world to know the glorious riches of this mystery. I've just been praying, Lord, I want to know you who are the mystery. That's what I've been asking him. I want to know you who are the mystery. And the mystery which has been revealed through the scripture is Christ within the hope of glory. So I need to know more about Christ, right? He's the mystery. The other word the Lord had given me was cacophony, which I had shared. It's a harsh, discordant mixture of sounds. It's a mishmash of unharmonious sounds. Sometimes we sound like that, don't we? I think about it like a chicken squawking. That's what the picture, when I sometimes looking at somebody and they just, all they're doing is complaining, that's what I see. I see this little chicken squawking. I mean, I do squawk too sometimes, so I'm not blaming anybody else, but I'm just saying, we got to lay down the dead chicken. Let the chicken die and worship. We don't want to be a squawking chicken. We want to be the eagle. You want to be an eagle and a dove. There's two sides to the coin. The beginning of our cry to God is the sacrifice of praise sometimes, right? We don't always feel, oh, God is so wonderful. Lord, I offer up to you a sacrifice of praise and worship. I worship you because of who you are. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord, the Lamb who was slain. We begin with that cacophony of sounds. When I was first saved, I had such a powerful encounter with the Lord. And all I could do was cry. I was on my knees, on my face, screaming and crying at the beach. This was... The power of God is incredible. It is incredible. And we have to know and believe that he has the power to change a life. Certainly the power to change a situation. He is incredible. He's God. So he always, well not always, but a lot of times he comes to me in powerful ways. Makes me shiver and shake because of his enormous presence. And that's why I am who I am. Because he's who he is in me. I can't hold him in. It just... And sometimes it's... I have to say, God, shh. That's my grandkids. And I was like, you gotta get saved. And I was like... Lord, go heal that guy at the grocery store. Anyway, we begin to praise and worship him. I'll share this cute little testimony. My girls play my CD in the car, and Sarah sent me this video of Shiloh and Nathaniel dancing around. Fire, raining fire, raining fire. Rain it, and Nathaniel has this little rain and fire. Now you realize Sarah can't hear, so she goes, this one of Grammy's songs. I said, yes, it's one of my songs. But I love that they're singing about the fire because that's what God is saying. I mean, there's 12, 13 songs on there. And the one they're singing about is the fire. I love that. If you're hearing God now, he's talking about fire. He's talking about fire. You remember the the fourth man in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire. Whoa! Whoa! I don't know if I'd be able to go into a fire or a lion's den, but I don't have to. I'm in my own fire, in my own lion's den. But the fourth man showed up in the fire, didn't he? And they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. I like that. So, as we begin our worship and we give our lives and our hearts in praise to him and hear him, as we begin to hear him and see him, we begin to harmonize with the sound of many waters in a cascading rhythm, which becomes a tumultuous wave of worship and glory to the King with all of heaven. Now that's a description. Woo! And we change in the process. When we start to worship and he comes, he changes us. He changes us. Hallelujah. Thank God he changes us. That's all I can tell you. Thank God. So the other word the Lord had given me was a crucible. And I didn't like that word because it was too close to crucify. Although I don't even feel it anymore. I'm just like, you get to a place after a while, you go into church, okay. Because you know that God is doing something amazing in your life. You know that he's doing something. He's getting rid of some crust that doesn't belong there, breaking that outer shell so that inside of you can rise up, right? Give you some encouragement in the midst of the crucible. Anyway, a crucible is just a container. I said, oh, that's good. But then I kept reading, oh. Crucible is also a severe trial in which different elements are mixed together at high temperatures. So here's the fire again. High temperatures, guys. Some of you have been through some fires this past year. You know what? God was in it. He's still in the fire. He's still in the fire. High temperatures, but it leads to the creation of something new. I realize sometimes, I recognize that I'm different, and I have to shake my head. I say, who said that? But it's amazing. It's really the most amazing thing about being a Christian, is that you can look and see that you respond and act differently because of what God has done in your life. In a situation that might have thrown you on the floor and, you know, had you crying and weeping for days, you can just go, excuse me, oh, God has that in control. So who's a consuming fire? Our God, Hebrews 12:29. So the other thing he said to me, well, you're in a new creation workshop. See, God has to talk to me in ways that I understand. You're in a new creation workshop. You know, you're out in the back shed there. He's got tools. He's doing all these things, you know, creating something amazing. I like to work with my hands. I like to restore things. And you know what? I don't really do a great job of it. I don't do all that stripping. And I just clean it up a little bit and put a new coat of paint over it. But when God does something, he strips it down. He strips it down to nothing. Sands it. Sands it again. Sands it again until it's ready. And then he very slowly layers a new coat of paint or stain. And then the varnish, the shine of his glory. It's where we're transformed. Our praise and worship in every moment of our lives, from the time that we've been saved, especially now, causes us to look at all of our circumstances with an attitude of loving optimism. We have to see and believe that God is in it. And if we ask him where he is and what he's doing, we can enjoy it. Really? That's sanding and strip. Yes, you can enjoy it because God is there with you. I think about Daniel when he was in the lion's den, first got thrown down there. I think he was probably really annoyed at the king, Darius, and he. But God sent angels. And I read these stories to my grandkids. So God sent an angel. Shut the lion's mouth. The next picture, the lion's mouth is closed and they're smiling. The cartoon. enjoy doing that, but why not? It paints the right picture. Because God sent an angel to shut the lion's mouth. So why wouldn't, for a kid, you know. And Darius, who was an idiot, you know, really blew the whole thing, but he kind of went into his law, came the next day and he couldn't wait to get there to see if Daniel was still alive. Roll down the stone, roll back the Daniel was his friend. And he sees that he was alive. He said, "Your God, look what your God did." That's what he said. So afterwards, he threw the three guys that hoodwinked him to making that law into the lion's den, and they got eaten. Those lions were smiling afterwards. And he gave Daniel an ability to make the laws and to rule. He said, you have to serve his God. So what happened as a result of what Daniel went through is that God got glorified. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to be glorified in our lives. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. We, at this body, and I believe the whole body across the earth, we are preparing for an awakening and, I believe, a last move of God. I believe that. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my bones. I see it. And there's one specific thing that happened. Regardless of how we feel about our present leadership, the fact that God moved on him to work with Israel and make Jerusalem the capital, I'm telling you, has set in course the future. That America is aligned with Israel is very, very important. So regardless of whatever else he does, the fact that he did that set the course for us, for world evangelism. I believe that. So, we need to build a staircase of worship and devotion as we rise up. A staircase of worship and devotion. Part of this clarion call message today is, what are you going to do with this? What? Yes! What part are you going to play? When the woman next door runs up to you screaming and crying that her mother died and she can't even function, what are you going to do? Are you going to wrap your arms around her, tell her it's going to be okay, and pray for her, which my husband did? This is a lady that I've been ministering to for months, years. And then I saw her the other day and she was another mess again. And then I saw her yet 2 days ago, and she, "I'm getting a little better," she said. "Getting a little better." I said, "Well, you know that we're here and we're praying for you." She's not ready to come in and sit down and have a cup of tea yet, but that day woke up. She knows who we are. I had my regular physical thing on Friday, you know, my 6 months, whatever. I sat down. And the doctor comes in like this. She got this look on her face. She sits down. I said, "What's the matter?" I'm at the doctor. Oh, I tore my meniscus. Oh, I said, "What'd you do?" So, anyway, we talked about this is allergies and blah, blah, blah. Come back and get your physical in 6 months. I said, "Okay." So I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit says, "Does he ever do that to you?" "Dr. Desai, can I pray for you?" She's Hindu or something, I don't know. She's Indian. She knows who I am. So I took the oil out of my pocketbook. anointed that knee. I prayed, Lord, I talked to the sovereign, believes in his sovereign being. We're in agreement together for the healing. I believe that you are the healer of this body. In Jesus' name. I can't not say Jesus' name, I'm sorry. So that was the end, you know. She gave me the biggest hug. So I looked at her, I said, I'm praying that this heals so you won't need surgery, because she's more concerned about being out of work. But you know what? That was an opportunity. I could have said no, right? Yeah. You have to say yes and let God be God, because that's who he is. That's who he wants to display his glory. So we're learning. We're learning in this at this level how to operate. We're not at the same level that we were. We're in a new place, a new level, and we have to learn how to operate in this level. And that's what we're learning. We're learning here. We're learning every day. We're trusting God. So we need to build that staircase of worship and devotion as we rise up. That's Graham Cook. So learn is the operational word. Learning. It's okay. We're learning. You remember when a kid learns to walk, they fall a lot. And it's okay, because falling is not really a failure if you get up, keep walking. When you stay down, that you're in trouble. So God wants us to continue in thanksgiving and prayer in Colossians 1, 11 through 13, to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we may have full endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Hallelujah. How many weapons formed against you will prosper?
None.
Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. God condemns it already. You have to grab a hold of it. And then the next portion says, this is the heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me. This is Isaiah 54, 17. So in those two scriptures, there's an inheritance and a heritage. That's what we're coming up to begin to move and operate in that inheritance. Calling things that are not as though they were. Psalm 149, one of my favorite. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand to execute vengeance on the nations. To bind their kings with chains, their nations with iron fetters. Their nobles. Well, nations came out and that works too. They're nobles with iron fetters. Nations are kingdoms. So if you have a kingdom of incest on your block, you can go out there and take authority over that and let them leave. Get delivered or leave. You can do that. We need to walk with Jesus and make the kingdom of darkness harmless, null and void. Eagles. Eagle wings. He overcame sin, sickness, and death for us. The purpose for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. 1 John 3:8. That's why Jesus came to the earth, to break the powers of darkness, demons, kingdoms, the devil. In the Gospel of John, there's three times that Jesus cried and groaned within himself. Actually, he groaned over Jerusalem three times, but we'll just take that as one. He groaned at the tomb of Lazarus. Gospel of John, chapter 11, 38-44. There is a miraculous account of Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. From the dead. He raised him from the dead. He stood before the tomb, groaning within himself, and instructed them standing by to take away the stone. He told them, that if they would believe, and here's the operative word, they would believe, they would see the glory of God. So what are you believing? Do you really believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Do you really believe that he raised Lazarus from the dead? Do you believe that he has a power and authority over sickness and disease and death? We go from life to life. We don't go from life to death. We go from life to life. We just step over the threshold into a real heaven. But see, we're there already because of the blood. We're already in the kingdom because of the blood. And we have operational tools, don't we? I don't have time to go into all that, but Jesus lifted his eyes and he said, Father, praying, groaning, crying, I thank you. Thanking. I thank you that you have heard me. That's incredible. Jesus says, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Excuse me. Then he cried out with a loud voice, which I can't because my voice is quiet now. Maybe that's why God did it. I would have been screaming bloody murder at all of you. No. Lazarus, come forth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Come out of that tomb. He only called Lazarus. He didn't call everybody else because they would have all been raised from the dead. He just called Lazarus. So what is he calling us? Each one of us. Come. Come out of the darkness into the light. When your darkness is exposed to the light, it has no power. In the dark, it has power. When Lazarus was in the tomb, he was dead. But Jesus said, come out, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let them go. It was a cry of knowing. God already knew what was going to happen. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Why did Jesus weep over Jerusalem? In Luke, I think about Jesus weeping. That makes me cry. I think about my Savior weeping. Luke 19, his compassionate heart for the lost and the sick and the dying. Luke 19:44, it reads, because you did not come progressively, listen, to recognize and know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. That's why he was weeping, because they did not engage in understanding who he was. They rejected him as the Christ, the Messiah. That is when God was visiting you. Some of us have had incredible visitations from God and walked away. I know a lot of people that have had amazing encounters with the living God and have walked away from him. So he was crying because they did not come to him and work with him progressively to observe and understand and experience the time of visitation. This right now is the time of visitation. This is the parousia that we started to talk about 22 years ago. There's going to be individual times of visitation for each one of us here in this body and those in their hearts who are crying out for the real Jesus. Will the real Jesus, he gave me this a couple months ago, will the real Jesus stand up? Will the real Jesus stand up? Not the icon, and I'm not going to go through all that because you all know. But when Jesus is calling you, you hear his voice. So where is he? He's in here. You got to set yourself apart and listen. That is when God was visiting you, the time in which God showed himself gracious to you and offered you salvation through Christ. And they didn't want it. They wanted to stay in their religion. They wanted to stay in their customs. They wanted to stay in whatever it was that they wanted to stay in. Their dead tomb. Jesus cried the last time. He cried when he took his final breath on the cross. Today is Palm Sunday. There were things that happened on Palm Sunday that were absolutely amazing. But Jesus knew when he was riding into that town that they were waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna. He knew what was coming. He knew, oh, my day is coming. They were not yelling and shouting, Lord, save us at the cross. They were not. Many of them were not yelling and shouting at the resurrection. They were making up lies and stories about it, saying it didn't happen. So, you know, Jesus did something incredible, powerful, amazing. He was raised from the dead. He was crucified. But that moment that he was crucified, he was crying. It is finished. And he breathed his last breath on the cross. He knew that his work on earth was finished, that he had triumphed over sin, sickness, and death. Mark 15, 37 and 38. The veil was rent in the temple. I don't know how they explained that. They couldn't. It was rent from the top to the bottom. And the Holy of Holies was thrown open, saying, you could all come in here now because of the blood. You can come in and spend time with my Father. I've won it. The Holy of Holies was opened. The door is open. The door is open to heaven, guys. We can access the throne room. It's a clarion call to come up higher. A heart filled with God's love. Willing to be the one who can be seen victorious in Christ. Are you willing? Even when it doesn't look like it's victorious. Like maybe Dr. Desai's knee will still be hurting her. And she'll have to go through the surgery. I'm praying that she won't. But I know that the Lord touched her even there. Right then and there. Touched her. I'm praying for her knee to be healed. I'm praying for that miracle to happen in her life. And we have to intercede. We have to spend time in God's presence. And we have to pray and intercede for those who are lost and sick and dying. And we need to demonstrate the power of God. We need to demonstrate the power of God in our lives. Jesus' name is above every name. I'm going to talk about one name. Jehovah Sabaoth. God first showed himself to Hannah as Jehovah Sabaoth. Opened her womb. He came in answer to her cry. She had a beautiful baby boy. And many, many after that, God opened her womb. He remembered her is what the word says. Jehovah Sabaoth is God's name. Now listen, you need to get that name in. Embroiled across your chest in the fire of God. Jehovah Sabaoth, come. It is a name for man's extremity these times when we have reached our end, finding ourselves impotent, in turmoil, embroiled in a real spiritual warfare, and with no other source of help. So we need to meditate deeply on Jehovah Sabaoth, who he is. So that the Holy Spirit inside of us will reveal the deep truth revealed in the magnificent, sufficient name of Jehovah Sabaoth. For behold, he who comes, God is incredible. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what are his thoughts, He who makes dawn into darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts, Sabaoth, is his name. Amos 4:13. Amos suggests God's attributes of creative sovereignty. He is sovereign, but he is creative in his sovereignty. Omniscience and omnipotence, they are all implied by the majestic name Jehovah Sabaoth. Think about the the story of Elijah. I love Elijah. The story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Him meeting Ahab in a display of the power of the living God to defeat his enemies, our enemies, is Jehovah Sabaoth. 1 Kings 18, 30-39. As a result of Elijah reestablishing and repairing the altar, this is what he did. He reestablished and he repaired the altar in the name of the Lord, Jehovah Sabaoth, crying out to God on Mount Carmel, a demonstration of power caused, now this is what we're asking for, caused a hardened, deceived people to fall on their face and cry out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." They were backslidden and in unbelief and rebellion against God. This is what happened after Elijah prayed and said, "Don't let it rain." It didn't rain for 3 years. Then he was in hiding. God was Ahab and Jezebel, two very wicked king and wicked queen. And then God told Elijah to go back. And he was like, "What? Go back. Go call King Ahab out. Meet with Ahab." He was like, "What?" But he did. He obeyed God. So Ahab was there. He displayed the glory of God. He displayed the glory of God. And then, you know, he saw a cloud coming. And after this powerful display, you should read it, it's absolutely amazing. He set up an altar. He had 450 prophets of Baal and Asherah come. He said, "Come, bring them all of them. And all the tribes of Israel are there. And he built a 12 stone altar, put wood all over it, made a pool of water around it, just to prove that it was God that was going to come down and put that fire on that altar. And he gave the prophets of Baal and Asherah, "Go ahead, call your God down, bring fire." I love that. And he's like, "Oh, maybe he's not listening." He's having lunch. Didn't come. And they were doing all kinds of things, slapping themselves, whack, you know. I believe that's where the first cutting came from, because they were cutting themselves. The root of cutting, I believe that's what it is. And so when I have remedy for people who cut themselves, I say, "Elijah, bring down that." Anyway, I love the word of God. Anyway, their gods didn't come. They were made a mockery. And then God came. God came down. And that's what we need. So there are things, if you read the account, there are things that God used Elijah to do. And as a result of what he did, God came and displayed his glory. So, we need that now. We need a power. Power of a demonstration of the living God. We need that now. We need God to show himself strong on our behalf. We need the real Jesus to stand up. So, right now we need to choose ourselves. This is a call for you to choose. Are you willing to be a vessel to display his glory? Are you willing to submit and yield yourself and say, "Let him." and truly become the bride of Christ. You know, to become the bride of Christ requires you to say yes to him a step beyond where you are, because it is going to cost you something. It is the most amazing thing that could ever happen to you, to have that intimacy with the bridegroom. You read the Song of Solomon and you hear the journey. That's our journey. And at the end of the journey, she has this amazing communion with Jesus. It's not about a husband and wife, ladies and gentlemen. It's about Jesus and the bride. It's amazing. And we're the bride, if we choose. Because there's a preparation. The foolish, the virgins, the 10 virgins were all believers. There was 5 foolish ones and 5 ones that kept their lamps filled. And they went into the chamber. In heaven, there's going to be people who are going to come up and they're going to be sit at the dining room table and they're going to be feasting with Jesus. And then everybody's going to gasp because the bride is going to come in. The bride of Christ. And everybody is going to worship Jesus. And those who are the bride will fall down and worship him. And they will all be singing, "Holy, holy, holy, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord." Scripture says, "I am waiting for the King in my chambers." In your heart of hearts, are you waiting for the King to come? You're waiting. Wait for the King. Wait for him. Say, "Let him." There's work to be done. A yielded heart will unleash heaven. He gets louder and louder every time you say yes to him. Every time you choose him in a circumstance or situation, his voice gets louder and deeper and clearer and more easily distinguishable above all the fray. A yielded heart is a louder sound than a curse or chaos. A yielded heart brings the summoning of the King. A yielded heart, he comes in response to the cry of a yielded heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Whoa, now there's a promise. So hear the clarion call of God on your life and yield to him. Yield yourself to him in every way and just say, "Let him." You cannot recreate yourself. You cannot change yourself. You can change habits. You can make distinctions about how you live, but you cannot change your inner man. Your old creation has to die on the cross and get raised up by Jesus and recreated in his kingdom. That's where the new creation lives. You go into the new creation workshop and then you go up. So come up here. So Revelation 5, I'm ending with this. They sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals." There's only one worthy. His name is Jesus. "Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, and from every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests." Some places it says kings and priests, but this version says a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign in heaven. No, they will reign on the earth, it says. "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and honor and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The last cry that comes from us is, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy to receive honor and glory and all of those things that we have put ahead of him. They have to bow at his feet." So Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to call your name, that we are your children, we are your sons and daughters. Lord, your word says that the bride has made herself ready. So Lord, there are things we need to do, things we need to say to you in the inner chamber of our heart as we wait for you. We have to yield ourselves to you. We say yes. We have to say yes. Let him. And I know, Jesus, that right now you are crying over us right here. You are crying over us and calling us to come closer, to come up higher than we are, to be closer and deeper, to eat your flesh and drink your blood, Father, and to have that intimate communion with you as your bride, that we can dance over the hills with you in great joy, experiencing all that you have for us. You're the bread of life. You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So I lift up your people today, Lord. Our community at RCF. All of those that are part of our family, our friends, our neighbors, those that work with us. Father, we choose you. We choose to be your bride. We choose to prepare ourselves, to make ourselves ready for you. And we wait in the chambers for that communion time, Father. And we do worship you.